Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
You're watching the video, you see me smiling. It's because I can see Adam Lamb in our green room and what he's wearing. We're going to bring him on in just a minute. Today is Thursday. Every other Thursday, we do the Renew Life RX show with Adam Lamb. He's actually here today in person. He's honoring us by being here today. But before we get started with a good discussion today, we're going to cover three different topics. We're going to talk about the antibody tests. We're going to talk about DHEA. For menopause, this is a big game changer for a lot of women out there who are stuck and can't find the doctor. We're going to talk about that. And then also, with almost predicted 700 million type 2 diabetics globally by the year 2045, I think it's like 350 million now, we may have something that's pennies a day to protect them from some of the harmful effects of type 2 diabetes. Before I get started with that, of course, I have to acknowledge my title sponsor. That is Legendary Foods, of course. And right now, you can get 10% off anything you buy at Legendary Foods. They're seasoned nuts. They're delicious nut butters. And yes, the insanely popular toaster pastry, the Tasty Pastry, which is a low-carb toaster pastry. Less than 1 gram of sugar. They taste like Pop-Tarts, but they taste better. They have 9 grams of protein. So if you're somebody who's you're focused on protein as one of your important macros in your diet, that is where you want to be. So now let me play his theme music. Here we go.
The first step to changing your life starts with the Renew Life Show with Adam Lamb.
You know, Adam lives in Texas, and he's afraid that he could get put in jail by doing this interview without his mask on. Very nice. How are you, Adam?
So yesterday is the first time. You know, we first started seeing patients back here in the office yesterday.
Ah.
And they wear them. It's so funny because our practitioners and myself, like, I'm in my office, but, you know, I say greet them and things like that. So, but I'm not, like, treating them up close and doing the injections, things like that. And it was so funny because at the end of the day, we were like, you know, we took our masks off, like, had headaches from breathing your own CO2. Like, it's not healthy to wear a mask.
No, but I haven't wanted to jump on this comment because actually, I think it was Judy Mikovits came on my show recently. You know, she's like going viral right now with her videos, Plandemic.
Oh, you had her? I know you're talking about. She was on there?
Yeah, she was on last week. And she was talking about that. And actually, I attended a Quest think tank. Breathing your own CO2 is actually a good thing. If you raise CO2 levels in blood, it liberates more oxygen. CO2 is a very misunderstood gas. It's not a waste. It's not a waste gas.
What's that? Right? It's like when you put your face over a bag from a hyperventilating calming. It actually
It's not just that. If you study Buteyko breathing. If you've ever heard of Buteyko breathing or even Wim Hof, he's another guy. These guys, they understand the value of carbon dioxide. It's not a waste gas. It's a very important gas. In fact, now when firemen are checking to see if someone is alive and or can be revived, let's say they're trying to pump the heart and revive somebody. They look at CO2 levels, and that's a better indicator of whether or not you're going to get somebody. Because when CO2 levels rise in the blood, it actually allows the hemoglobin to release more oxygen into tissue. So it has the opposite.
Like a panic situation,
yes.
Right? Same thing with fasting will get your body to use that stored sugar better than if you give it sugar.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that. Still gives you a headache.
Yeah, no, I think what gives you a headache isn't so much the CO2 as the restricted breathing. Yeah, and that's you're blowing out, and you're literally putting a lot more effort. You know, you breathe.
The whole time.
17,000 to 30,000 breaths a day we take. Now imagine just restricting it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like now all of a sudden your lungs are working, right? Like we have to push harder. We have to suck harder. So, yeah.
No, yeah, that makes a lot of sense because anything can cause a headache, right? And so, but even, you know, the Him Hof stuff, I don't know. I do a lot of that with, I've read about it and watched his videos. I'll do that in the water. I get in my pool in the wintertime. And when it's in the 50s and even sometimes lower, and do that breathing, and it's crazy how it works.
It's amazing. It is amazing. Yeah. So I have to announce something real quick. You may not be aware of this, but we are now available on over 100 million Alexa smart speakers around the world. All you have to do is walk up to your Alexa and say, Alexa, play Superhuman Radio Podcast. And the latest show will play. And if you know how to command your Alexa, you can go back, you can go forward. So convenience of listening to the show now. I mean, you could just start it on a Saturday morning and work all day, and it'll play one podcast after the other. You get all caught up. So check that out on your Alexa. Let me know how it works.
I will. That's cool.
All right. So we're going to start off with, we got three topics today. DHEA for menopause, melatonin for type 2 diabetes, and then we're going to talk about the antibody tests, because you guys are offering that now, and you want to enlighten people, so to speak, about what they do and how to
get them. Option. I think, you know, at a high level too, with this, you know, DHEA, if you ask for women, what's, you know, medication number one, I'll let you guess, testosterone. Medication number two, DHEA. And 95% of the time, that's where we stop and just have the most success. Melatonin, I'm super interested in that conversation because I don't know much about that study and where it plays, so that's interesting. And then, yeah, we can hit on the COVID-19 stuff because, you know, we have so many patients nationwide that we can leverage our telemedicine platform to just get them set up to go right in, get to LabCorp, which is reputable. There's so many, the FDA just pulled back like 100 antibody tests or something like that, companies out there, because, you know, like, it's like anything. I had a guy who was like, well, I can just get it done for $15 at this little plastic thing that was made in China that was bought in bulk for, you know, like, why? It's fake if it doesn't work, you know, if it doesn't, the results aren't real.
So this particular study was called an overview of DHEA, but it's parenthetically EM760, and there's a reason for that. I'll explain. As a treatment for genitourinary syndrome of menopause, which is when women start to have problems with their vaginas drying out, basically. The wall's thin, the vagina dries out, and then makes intercourse a real big problem. Intercourse and being intimate becomes a problem. But more also, there are other effects. When you usually get this condition, you'll also notice that you may start to have incontinence. The bladder starts to malfunction. These are all from estrogen and androgens disappearing post-menopause. Mm-hmm. So what they did was, and I want to distinguish that we're talking about a study that's talking about a pharmaceutical DHEA cream that's placed into vaginally. And as a pharmaceutical, they don't call it DHEA. They call it Presterone because it's DHEA, just like the DHEA you could buy at your grocery store, but it's made into a topical or transdermal cream that women then put inside their vaginas to assuage this embarrassing problem of menopause. But what I'm submitting today is that you can take this research to also imply that women can supplement with DHEA and get the same results and more. Because remember, when women have this problem of painful intercourse, some doctors prescribe estrogen cream to be put in the vagina. Mm-hmm. And all it does is it gets the vaginal wall, it gets all of that tissue in there resaturated like it was when you were young. That's all it really does. But the reality is that the estrogen that goes away in your body goes away in your entire body, and that's how it affects the vagina, but it's affecting your brain, it's affecting your heart, it's affecting your kidneys, it's affecting everything. So instead of taking this approach, many people who are watching the show today and listening can also accept the implication that if you take oral DHEA, you'll lose this negative effect of going through menopause, but you'll also gain a lot of other benefits besides just not having painful intercourse.
DHEA, I mean, for us, you know, from our perspective, what we see, just about everybody should be taking 25 milligrams of DHEA every evening. And we've had folks come up, like, actually one of the most popular marketing people is in his 50s, was having trouble getting out of bed, and he thought he needed all this stuff. We said, yeah, just try 25 milligrams of DHEA. In a week, his clock was reset. You know, his cortisol was popping when it's supposed to in the morning and things like that. Found himself more likely to relax at night, things like that. And DHEA and it's cheap. You can go get, you know, we get like pharmaceutical DHEA through the pharmacy, but you can still go get a good quality DHEA supplement online for $15 for, you know, 25 milligrams, something like that. And I don't know about your opinion, but I don't think you need all that stuff that they, you know, there's so many different things added with DHEA, and we just haven't found that necessary.
It's not necessary. DHEA is two clicks downstream from pregnenolone, three clicks downstream from cholesterol. It's a one of the progenitor type hormones. It can make testosterone. It could make estrogen, and from that, DHT. It's a great way to kind of we've lost Dr. Chrysler many years ago, but Chrysler used to say DHEA is a great hormone because it backloads.
Yeah.
And then if your body wants more testosterone or if your body wants more estrogen, it will produce that on demand if you have that building block.
And that's one of the things that we've always said is to explain it simply is DHEA is like the harmonizing hormone that when levels are healthy, it helps your body do what needs to be done, whether it's increased testosterone, increased estrogen. And we kind of use the analogy for folks, you know, like your listeners and us, we're a bit more educated in this space, but for Susie down the street that knows nothing, the analogy we use is it's kind of like that police officer at the four-way stop when the traffic light's out that comes in and is like, okay, you come, all right, estrogen, hold on, testosterone, or you, and we really see that balancing of hormones happen.
Yeah, yeah.
DHEA levels are optimal. We also see DHEA get crushed by high stress, high adrenal, high cortisol, you know, people, everybody.
Well, think about it. Think about it. In both men and women, DHEA is made in the adrenal glands. And there's some residual amounts made in other tissue. But if your adrenals are getting hammered and they're making cortisol, they're going, hey, we don't have the building blocks to make DHEA and cortisol. We got to make a choice here. I want to answer Lee Wall. I want you to answer Lee Wall's question because I'm sure you get this from time to time. So Lee says, DHEA is not recommended if taking blood thinners, which it sounds like. Is there any way around this?
So my first question would be, I don't know. You know, that's something like the doctor makes that decision.
Right.
And answer that question, I just take that back to our team. But we don't see a lot of people on blood thinners, you know, that come through with our client base. But I think that's something we could look into and get back to Lee about to find out. I don't know.
Yeah, so reach out, Lee, and
let me curious why.
That's my question. Why are you on blood thinners? Right.
Why? Because a lot of times in these, I'm not recommending this, but a lot of times it's said, and then when you ask why, it's they don't know why. They just, you know, that's what was said. And so I would be curious, unless, you know, I don't think DHEA has anything to do with blood pressure or, you know, maybe
Most people today are on a blood thinner because of either idiopathic mitral valve prolapse or some sort of rhythm issue like AFib. And 90% of the people on blood thinners are on it for that reason.
And all other folks that come through with any cardiovascular challenge always have to get cleared by their cardio. You know, like that's their wheelhouse. So we work with.
And keep in mind, a lot of doctors put people on blood thinners telling them, like somebody will have a clot. They'll have a thrombotic incident. A doctor will say, we're going to put you on blood thinners. We're going to monitor you. And then they watch you. And like a year later, your blood lipids have changed and inflammatory markers are down, but they don't take you off the blood thinner. So you may want to revisit your doctor. If your doctor says, no, you'll never be off blood thinners, then you may want to look at talking to your doctor and saying, I want to take DHEA, and here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to come in and take my ProTime test, which is the clotting test you have to take if you're on one of the more aggressive blood thinners. There are some that say you don't have to go for the test, but you can say, look, I want to get a test. I want to supplement with DHEA for a month. That's not going to kill me. It's not going to thicken my blood so much in just a month where I'm going to fucking I'm so sorry. Stroke out. I'll bleep that. What time was that? 1:15. But at the same time, I'd like to monitor it because I'm going to start taking DHEA, and then I want to come back and have my ProTime test done again and see if we have to adjust my blood thinner. Because if you tell your doctor you want to take it, they say, well, I don't recommend it. I say, I understand you're not recommending it, but I want to take it. I'm going to take it, and I'd like to do it with your supervision. That's all. Do that.
Yeah, and that's usually just that conversation stuff to have a lot of in most situations. But I think that's great advice, and I think that's great advice with anything you've researched and want to do for your health.
So Tommy D has a question, and I can't put it up, Tommy, because the button isn't there to put it up. But Tommy D says, how about 7-keto DHEA? Similar mechanisms? Absolutely not.
Right. And that's what I said. Don't go get the DHEA plus products. Just get the DHEA.
Right. Just plain old DHEA. Right. Yeah. No, yeah. It does. In fact, DHEA, 7-keto DHEA has very few of the hormonal effects that DHEA has. And supposedly it's just the thermogenic fat burning effects. So I don't even, and that's really iffy. A lot of people have used it.
I don't think this thing could burn fat. If there is, I'd be taking it.
DHEA, obviously we just covered this. I'm sorry. It's a steroidal hormone. It produces estrogens and androgens. Comprehensive drug evaluation describing chemical compositions and all of the effects of presterone. Presterone is the intravaginal DHEA. But when they put the women on it, they lost a lot of the side effects of going through menopause, and sexual dysfunction went away. They were able to be intimate again. So this is you should look at this in the same way that you look at just supplementing with DHEA. I would say to women, don't worry about getting on a special DHEA product. Just take plain old DHEA, have your physician supervise it. You know, watch the, because don't forget, DHEA is technically an androgen. It's technically an androgen that can make estrogen. It is susceptible to aromatization, just like testosterone, and that's how it makes estrogen. So women who have more body fat, they'll get higher rises of estrogen from taking their DHEA. And the women who are leaner may see higher rises in testosterone. But what I do know is I know a lot of women, at the time that they were faced with getting on HRT, and they started taking just a simple DHEA tablet, which is over-the-counter here in the United States, unfortunately not in Canada, but you can get doctors to prescribe it, and they didn't need any other therapy but take the DHEA.
Yeah, and we, you know, and that's, like I said, those are the two main paths, and depending on blood work, the doc might say, hey, we're going to start DHEA. Let's go 30 days. Let's see how you feel. And if DHEA solves the problem, they're like, wow, I feel this is what I wanted to feel. We're done. And if we get to that 30-day mark and they're like, eh, there's something else I'm looking for, then we'll add the testosterone. Or vice versa, we'll put in the testosterone. And then at 30 days, we'll find out how are you feeling, how you sleep. And DHEA really helps a lot of people sleep better with taking it in the evening. And so then we'll add it in that way. But those are the two, like, you know, powerhouse, you know, therapy processes for women. And usually we do both.
And it's pennies a day. You're talking about pennies a day, and you're talking about something that – and the other thing is that, you know, when you start talking about estrogen and testosterone, it's almost like, uh-oh, wait a minute. Now we're wading into, like, dangerous stuff, the Women's Health Initiative, breast cancer, uterine cancer, like – you just have to say those words, and everything after that is taken with a uh-oh. But no doctor has ever been called on the carpet for prescribing DHEA because it's an over-the-counter supplement.
And well, here the other thing with DHEA, too, is to your point, I'll kind of add on it, is from the, you know, fitness, you know, the drug abuse area, DHEA is not strong enough to do anything. So they don't take it, right? And then from the normal Joe, doctor, family, physician,
yeah,
won't know anything about DHEA, right. So no one's taking it. So it's this big space of people that everyone should be, theoretically, should be taking a 25 milligram DHEA supplement every evening.
You say take it in the evening, huh?
Yeah, so what we found, so there's two different things. Some people can take it right before bed, but if depending on how you metabolize medication, if you take it, you might be a little groggier. So we kind of say like that after dinner time, usually you're getting that large amount of DHEA, which is bringing down adrenal, which is, you know, keeping cortisol down. And so that cortisol spikes after the DHEA kind of wears off in the morning when you're supposed to, right? And that's where we see people get way better sleep, less stress, easier time unwinding. We even and some folks have them do like an afternoon, so like a 1 or 2 o'clock DHEA, the high function, high stress individuals, and then that evening dose again too.
I'm going to have to try this. So I've always taken DHEA in the morning because of a study I read probably 12 years ago that showed that DHEA agonizes melatonin, that they are the exact opposite. So, you know, melatonin kicks in at night when the sun goes down. DHEA kicks in the morning when the sun comes up. And so I've never experimented with it at night, but I may give it a try and see. So if I wanted to, I have my last meal at 6 p.m. I want to take it with a fatty meal. Can I take it then?
Yeah, take it then.
Okay.
And the goal is just because you want your cortisol up in the morning to get you out of bed. And DHEA actually can help combat cortisol.
Mm.
So if you're putting it in then, it doesn't make as much sense. But if you take it too late and you're a slow metabolizer, you could find yourself like still having that, like, I don't really want to get out of bed. You know, if you're usually like,
dude, during this COVID-19 thing, yeah. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. No, I got to be honest with you. I am suffering from clinical depression. I mean, I'm not sad about my life. I'm happy about my life, but it's like, I don't want to train. Adam, I haven't trained all week.
Like, I did 26 push-ups on my bathroom counter this morning.
That was it. He was done.
I could do some sit-ups, but I'm too lazy to lay down.
like for me, getting in the car, turning that key on, and realizing I'm going to the gym, my everything changes about me. I'm like excited. I'm ready to go.
We talked about that the other day. Like, I think the last time I was on, we talked about that having to go to the gym process. You know, I think it's like, I think of the athlete, like, leaving the locker room. Like, I know a lot of pro athletes, I've had conversations with them, and that locker room or that coming through that tunnel, and there's all of them will tell you there's no feeling from that moment of getting up off the bench in the locker room to getting out there on the court. It, like, I get chills talking about it because I know that feeling of that game on feeling. You know what I mean? And so if that's what you're used to, say I'm the same way, like going, I can't wait to go to the gym. But you know what, dude, my joints feel good.
Yeah,
I feel good.
I was just talking to a friend yesterday, and I said, I'm chomping at the bit. Like, I'm already creating my program. Like, I am going to crush it when I get back to the gym, and I'm not going to miss a day. And this was actually very therapeutic for me, not training, because I have muscle aches. Because at my age, if you don't train, you start getting muscle pain. It's just the way.
I get tighter too with my ankylosing spondylitis if I don't, and I'm just too lazy to even do my stretch. It's like, you know, I do my workout, which gets a heavier weight, gets the blood flowing, and then I'm more likely to want to get down and stretch. But like to get up in the morning and go do it, I'm like, for what? You know, I don't want to. But it's it's almost over.
So you know what I had to do, Adam, to quench my thirst, I've been sad, I've been depressed. I thought, you know what I need to do? What would Adam do? I know what Adam would do. Adam would go out and buy himself a beautiful Harley Davidson motorcycle, right?
Hey,
look at that.
Good for you.
That will be here. It's moving today from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm hoping it's here by the weekend. It probably won't be here till maybe Monday. I'm hoping it's going to be by the weekend. But I am so excited. I can't wait. I have not had a motorcycle since I was 21 or 22 years old.
I almost bought one in November. I was going to get a Triumph Thruxton, I think they're called.
Mm-hmm.
It was really sweet. And the day I went and rode it, was going to get it, I had some notice. Someone hacked a wire. Stole like $9,000 from us and from a wire we're supposed to send. Anyway, watch your email if you're sending wires.
Yeah,
creepy. And I was like, ah, that's a sign from God, because the motorcycle I was going to get was like $7,500. I was like, maybe I don't get it yet. But I used to race sport bikes.
Oh, really?
Maniac. My wife won't let me get anything that's not like cruiser.
Yeah, right. No cafes for you.
Feet over the front, wheelie, crazy stuff. We used to do stunt shows and stuff.
I almost bought the the V. What's
the V-Rod? V-Rod?
Yeah, I almost bought a V-Rod instead.
That thing's bad.
200. It's 200 horsepower.
No, that thing's sweet. Yeah, but it's still a cruiser, but it's that was like my first. I wanted something small, little Triumph. You know, wife and I, little helmets, putting around the woodlands, going to grab dinner. You know, something simple like that. And I still will get.
Yeah, I know. I felt like, this is the time to do it. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. The one thing I'm looking forward to is not about, I'm looking forward to everything opening back up. We're 50 days in, as you can see here, into the COVID thing. But yeah. I can't wait for that bike to get here. All right, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about another inexpensive supplement that could possibly save a lot of lives of people with type 2 diabetes. You're listening to the Renew Life RX show with Adam Lamb. Go to RenewLifeRx.com today if you want to feel younger, look better, and be prepared next time another pandemic comes around. We'll be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
7,451. That's how many people kick the bucket, buy the farm, or cash in their chips every day in the United States. Yep, that means 5 people are going to meet their maker during this commercial. And no, our commercials are not the cause. Half of those who punch the clock for the final time will do so without life insurance. Call Big Lou at Term Provider before you are number 7452. If you're a 50-year-old male, a tad porky with a touch of diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost about $200 a month. With more verified 5-star reviews than any other Lou on the radio, Big Lou has saved thousands of people thousands on their term insurance premiums. Stop procrastinating and call Big Lou today at 800-560-0301. 800-560-0301. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He doesn't want to be number 7,452. Call 800-560-0301 or biglou.com.
Ever wish there was a precise way to gauge your recovery from workout to workout? Or wonder if the money you're spending on your nootropic supplements are actually improving brain function? Maybe you're aging and you're noticing some changes in memory. Wouldn't being able to really test your brain be of great value? Well, now you can with great accuracy with the Brain Gauge. The Brain Gauge lets you test essential components of brain health and track your brain health history, and all in the comfort of your own home. Go to gageyourbrain.com and use code SHR for $150 off this amazing device. That's gageyourbrain.com and SHR for $150 off. Imagine if you had a digital twin, one that you could compare your own health and fitness outcomes to, one that showed you whether or not the things you're doing, food you're eating, or drinks you're drinking are actually working for you or against you. Well, now you can. The first ever advanced epigenetic saliva test that compares 20 million different data points of your DNA to help predict what is aging you faster or keeping you younger is being introduced to my audience at a 70% discount from the normal price. Go to seeds.md/epigenetic-test today to learn how to get your own digital twin that will help you take the steps to live longer and stay stronger. Don't wait, because this is a limited time offer not available anywhere else. Once these tests are gone, they're gone. Again, go to seeds.md/epigenetic-test today to learn more. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Adam is on the move.
And it, making moves.
I like that shirt.
Every minute. Thanks. Yeah. You know, golf clothes are like, you know, you see women get to wear their like yoga pants, and they're, you know, they can be, golf clothes are like, I got my golf. My golf pants on too. I mean, they're like, it's just comfy workout clothes.
You know, yeah. You know, when you, I got to be honest with you. I know I've said this to you before, and I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to be an idiot or something. But you look like you could be like a movie star on a Hallmark Channel movie. No, you do. You have that. You have that wholesome look. You know what I mean? You got a nice physique. You got nice mannerisms, a nice way about you. I got to believe that's contributed a lot to your success as well. It has to have.
Well, hopefully. I think, you know, my father-in-law has always said to my wife, who's very good looking, that, you know, your looks are a gift that can get you in the door, but your, you know, your content.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
That's why I think my wife's always been successful, is she's really good looking, super polite, and really smart, right? So you have some.
The whole thing, yeah. Yeah,
but thank you, Carl. I'll let my Hollywood folks know. Maybe I can.
Yeah, there you go, man. So
Carl said I should be.
Carl said so. What does he know? Globally, in 2019, there was approximately 463 million adults between the ages of 20 and 79. That's shocking. 20 that were living with type 2 diabetes, and it's estimated by 2045 that this will be 700 million people. This is a ridiculous situation because this is completely avoidable. Let's be honest. Type 2 diabetes is something you give yourself. Yeah. That's because of your lifestyle, your eating habits, and so on.
The tiny gap is you can have a predisposition. You can have some DNA stuff, and but you could still eat.
But here's the thing. That DNA stuff, when we first learned about it, they called it the thrifty gene. That was actually an evolutionary metabolic gift that ensured that you would survive in times of famine. But now that gene is mismatched for the fact that you have a fridge 6 feet away from you and the desire to eat every 15 minutes.
Right. I had a client yesterday. He's in his 50s. Well, big guy. Takes care. He actually reminds me a lot of like you, outspoken, in shape, still in it. But his blood sugar is always higher. And I'm like, man, we got to – he's like, listen, I eat half a bag of licorice when I get home, and I don't care. His blood work – actually, he just did it. He's been a client for about 7 years, and his blood work is the healthiest. He's like, that's the healthiest blood work I've ever had. He said, Adam, I'm not changing shit. I'm going to eat my licorice, and, you know, the guy's fit. He's always sending me pictures. But the point being is that repeat habit creates that insulin sensitivity, and you might look good, right? You might be fit and – you can still be fit and still have get type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, of course. Of course. There's a lot of people who don't look like they would have insulin resistance that do.
A lot of folks understand is that sugar, right when you wake up, is the worst thing you can do because
it sets up the rest of the day to be this boomerang. Well, yeah.
That's what happens when you spike insulin. Your growth hormone goes down. And there's so many people I know that, you know, growth hormone is super expensive, and folks that take growth hormone, and then 15 minutes later, they're eating a bowl of cereal, you know, just shutting the whole process down. And growth hormone is very important to our recovery and, you know, everything, you know, like all things of our body. So anyway, back to diabetes.
So 79% of people with diabetes, they live in low and middle income countries, which is baffling to me, right? But no, it's not. But there was a movie once called From Prada to Nada. It was a B movie with these two sisters. They were Latino. They were very wealthy. The father lost all the money, and they had to now get used to being regular people. and they were like high maintenance girls in L.A., you know, Beverly Hills. Yeah. And there was one line in it, like they went to a restaurant and like all they could afford were these things. And she's like, those are all carbs. Carbs are for poor people. And while that's a joke, it's not.
And that's if, you know, if the government were to step in right now, and we can get constitutional and have that conversation, but go to the dollar menu and look at the things that are on the dollar menu, and it's all things that are going to kill you.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very, very high in carbohydrate load, very, very high in sugar, very, very high in added sodium.
Bad and fried food and things like that. Yeah. Right. So it's, you know, and then the reality is just people not being active and not using the sugar and things like that as well.
So this isn't it. So this is a 30,000 foot view comment. So this has nothing to do with the study itself, but it's something to make people go, that's interesting. So in this study, they started out with 36 rats. They cut them into groups of 18. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But they had to make one group of rats diabetic. And they used a drug called streptozocin. I'm trying to pronounce it.
That was good.
And so streptozocin is a cancer drug. But I thought, you know, I saw that CIN at the end, you know, rapamycin, azithromycin. And I thought, gee, this is interesting. So I looked it up. It is, in fact, an antibiotic that's so powerful that it destroys the islet cells of the pancreas and makes you forever diabetic. Now, the reason I point this out is there's obviously an issue between the gut microbiome, the development of type 2 diabetes, and this kind of connects it because this particular antibiotic destroys a lot of microbes in the gut, some good, some bad. I just wanted to point that out to people that
that's really interesting.
Yeah, this antibiotic will make you diabetic.
What is that antibiotic typically prescribed for?
So it's prescribed for cancer because it stops anti-angiogenic, stops blood flow to tumors and stuff like that. So think about this, right? You go to the doctor, they go, you got this tumor, we're going to give you this drug, we're going to get rid of that tumor, but you're going to be forever diabetic and insulin dependent.
Yeah.
That actually is something it's done with.
Well, I can think of recently a female client of ours that beat cancer, and she just can't lose weight. I mean, like her thyroid was smoked, her testosterone was like literally less. It didn't even register. It was like under three, which is nothing. And same thing, you know, she had some insulin resistance, and also her body just hurt from, you know, just not being well. And so, but now she's having tremendous results on hormone therapy. But it's true that, you know, so many of those drugs, they just beat cancer, but just beat everything else too.
Yeah.
And it can be a long time without, you know, how to come back from that properly to build those natural behaviors back up if some things weren't taken away totally, which could lead to something like.
But the other thing is, like, just from the 30,000 foot view that I was trying to imply here is that we there are so many pharmaceutical drugs that fix this, but they destroy these other six things, and you end up dying from those things. And medicine thinks that's a win. That's what I'm pointing out here. This is an antibiotic that makes you forever diabetic, and they're probably going to give it to somebody who's dealing with cancer right now. So it's horrible. So this study, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, but the diabetic drug people are like, looks good to me.
Yeah, sure. We'll just give them. They're going to need insulin. I mean, so. If the pancreas is destroyed, you got to go on insulin. So there were total of 36 rats selected. They were cut into two major groups, right? The one, 18 were put into either the group that got, that was a control group, the group that got the streptozocin, the group that got melatonin as a treatment group, the group that got an anti-diabetic drug called glibimetide. The other group was then spontaneously made diabetic by giving them 250 milligrams a deciliter of streptozocin, and they were made diabetic, and that was going to be another one of the test groups. And then what they did was they gave the rats either melatonin, the anti-diabetic drug, or nothing at all. And what they found out in the rats that got the melatonin exclusively, that the changes in their blood, and which were the most profound, that people with type 2 diabetes have low red blood cell counts, low hemoglobin, low white blood cell counts, low neutrophils, or their immune system is all jacked up. It's all very, very low. The group that ended up getting the melatonin ended up actually having a complete correction of all of these changes in the blood, which means that if you're type 2 diabetic, even if you are on an anti-diabetic drug, you should be taking melatonin at night to sleep to protect you. It's protective. It's not going to cure your diabetes. Now, if you start sleeping better, you may start to see your insulin sensitivity change.
For sure.
So it may have an extrinsic effect on you changing your diabetic status. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is that taking melatonin will keep you from progressing in the things that change in your blood that actually cause other diseases and other issues.
You know, and the sleep, you know, it's interesting too, if melatonin helps you sleep better, so you're less likely to have a acute disruption of sleep, right? So like if I came into your bedroom at night and was like, Carl, like you're going to, but what that when you wake up, you can't control sugars released in your body.
Right.
Right. And so whether it's nightmares or sleep apnea or something like that, and then that's what can also happen too, where that sugar's being distributed where it's not supposed to and causing additional problems. I wonder too if, you know, just trying to think outside the box, if melatonin helping you sleep well also helps not disruption of sleep of, I wake up all the time with, you know, I watch too much like Homeland before I go to bed.
Yeah, it's funny. You get all jacked up. You sleep with your gut.
Wait for the bomb to go off my sleep.
But, you know, and melatonin does so much more. We talked about melatonin on this show for the past 14 years. I used to be able to get Dr. Russell Ryder on the show from the University of Texas at Dallas. And he's written more papers about the pineal gland than any other scientist in the world. And melatonin, it protects against colon cancer and a variety of cancers. Melatonin seems to slow the progression of both Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease. I mean, and now on top of that, the blood changes, hematological changes in a diabetic model are reduced, and you don't have to live with those risks. I mean, a thrombotic index goes up. You know, somebody was asking about blood thinners. So, you know, anything that acts as an anti-inflammatory thins the blood, and anything that causes inflammation thickens the blood. Just think about that. That's why aspirin is a blood thinner. Right. But when you get the cytokine storm because you're sick, your blood gets thick. So melatonin also has a slight blood thinning effect. And also it has an antioxidant effect in the brain. It crosses the blood brain barrier. So, I mean, it's worth taking. And if you are diabetic, this is something you should not be passing up on at all.
Melatonin's good. I take it when I remember.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the antibody tests. And this is an area that your group is actually involved and we'll learn more about them and what we can expect from them. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. This is the Renew Life RX show with Adam Lamb. And if you want to reach out to them and learn more, go to the website renewliferx.com. You'll hear from Ronnie Milo, most likely. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive.
productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get two free 10-ounce New York strips when you purchase $50 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com. And use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
Crank your muscle gains to new heights by transforming every gram of protein you eat into 3 grams with MassZymes. With 100,000 HUTs of protease per capsule, MassZymes increases your absorption of key amino acids, resulting in stronger, healthier digestion of proteins and certain vitamins that not only multiplies the impact of the protein you eat, but can also repair a damaged intestinal wall. Go to MassZymes/SHR for 10% off. That's MassZymes.com/SHR.
Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about Can-See eye drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using Can-See and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who, because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. Can-See eye drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using Can-See eye drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision. How often do you sit with your laptop right on your lap? How much time do you spend on your cell phone? Are you in a technology-packed office Monday through Friday? Are you worried about this type of radiation? Now there's something you can do about it. GetLAMS.com. This radiation has been linked to infertility in men, glandular tumors, gut microbiome dysbiosis, and impaired sleep quality. Now you can provide 360-degree protection to at-risk parts of your body with radiation-proof apparel from GetLAMS.com. Comfortable, breathable, and 99% effective. Go to GetLAMS.com and use coupon code SHR for 20% off your order of $100 or more. That's GetLAMS.com, GetLAMS.com, and code SHR.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back.
You know, I was just going to add the Lambs, my same name. What's funny is I was in conversation with those guys about doing some sort of like affiliate, you know, with the same last name. It's kind of funny. And I believe in what their product does. I just have been too lazy to order my stuff yet.
I believe in what the product does too. And I think that people are taking it a little too casual. They don't realize the, I've done a couple posts about RF and what it can do to the body.
Because I keep my phone like next to my head and my nightstand.
Yeah, not me. It's on airplane mode. I use one of the apps on it, but it's on airplane mode. And even all my Bluetooth things are turned off. And I even unplug the base station to our cordless phone and turn our router off at night because it's wireless. I mean, I turn everything off. Now, granted, I live close enough to my next-door neighbors where their router is emanating into my house. And the truth is there's literally an invisible cloud around us at every second of the day. I just want to cut my proximity to it. So let's talk about the antibody test. So
yeah.
I have questions about it. Good.
Start. Yeah. And so what we've been exploring is, you know, with everything we do, we like to kind of stay in the forefront of how can we serve people. And that was something that everybody was like, I think I had it. I might have had it. I actually tested negative for it.
Did you think you had it at one time?
Yeah, because my kids, who I'm still going to get tested, both had week-long fever, dry, like, annoying cough. Like, I want to strangle them if I hear one other person cough again. It was so annoying. But, I mean, they're my kids. I'm taking care of them. They're sleeping on our bed. Like, you know, my wife never skipped a beat. At the same time, though, there's, like, the pollen. I actually did a post on Facebook. I said, I'm more concerned about the pollen here in Texas than I am the the COVID-19 because I usually get sick every year. And I didn't, but I had about 3 days of feeling like crap plus being surrounded with my kids. And so it would be, well, if I test negative, the assumption would be my kids probably didn't have it. But we had a husband and wife. Husband tested positive, wife tested negative. And he's like, Adam, we're not social distancing. You know what I mean? And so then it brings the conversation of, because what I haven't seen talked about that really interests me is if you have a high immune system, that you can't catch things as easily, right? And so the analogy I was kind of having a conversation with is like, if I got in a fight with my son, say my son's the virus, mm-hmm. he comes up, he's out. Might even have killed him, right? I don't look like I got in a fight. But if you and I, if you have Carl's the virus and he comes and you and I get in a scrap, I think you can probably hang. So I'm going
to
look
So the longer I'm able to work with you, right. I'm going to give it
to you. I'm going to show that I had, like, someone's going to be like, dude, what happened? Got your nose is bleeding, black eye, hair's all messed. Like, I just got in a fight with this virus, Carl.
Right.
And so in that situation, because this couple I'm thinking of where the husband and wife, where the wife was negative, husband was positive, the wife is stellar health. And I think of, like, my wife. She never gets sick. If she's sick, it's like 4 minutes. Like, she's crazy, great immune system, all that stuff, takes care of herself. And so, you know, that's part of it too. So you could still end up being negative for the antibodies. And it doesn't mean that the virus didn't come in, poke around, and just couldn't live there because it couldn't do what the virus does. It couldn't attach and feed because your body was strong enough to fight it off. And so, you know, we just got into it because we're interested in seeing the results. And we've seen about 10% of the people come back positive.
Did these people have symptoms?
One had no symptoms, one did. Okay. Now, one and the two that I can think of off the top of my head, I'd have to go through. I don't read through the
chart. Okay, no, but wait a minute. So I have questions. So there's some speculation that some of these antibody tests may be false positive, you know.
Yeah.
So how reliable are they?
Yeah, so we do everything through LabCorp. We stayed on the sideline a little longer. I mean, we've been researching this for a month as far as, you know, because people have it and there's a lot of junk out there, and I'm glad the FDA just pulled back like 100 different companies' tests because they weren't good. And so, you know, we have a tremendous relationship with LabCorp, and we just felt confident going there first. There's another company we're going to do some stuff with if the FDA will ever approve the at-home kit, because some people, they want it at home. It's more expensive, obviously, logistically, but then they prick their finger and put the droplet in there, and the test has got, it tests, the, you know, the IgG, IgM, IgA. It's got four different antigen test points and, you know, spike one, spike two, all these things, which is great because it rates it. So it's not positive or negative. It's like 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15 on rating, work moderate or low or high. And so that's some real, real science. But the bottom line with this thing is that we don't know everything about it yet. And so the more that we can all participate in learning about it, I think the better.
Yeah.
And the more, you know, educated.
So let me ask you a question. If I have a test done,
yep.
Who knows that I had that test? Because there's a lot of speculation now, like, oh, you don't want to be on the list of people who had it. You don't want to be on the list of people who haven't had it because of the whole vaccine thing. So if I had this test done, does the lab protect my identity?
So, I mean, the LabCorp, you know, any lab company, any information could be subpoenaed at some point, right? And so we don't share so all LabCorp has is your data, right? We do ask, like, hey, Carl, did you have any symptoms? That stuff.
Right.
Because we want to know to serve you better, right? We want to be able to have that interaction, that conversation. We don't send that stuff to LabCorp, you know what I mean, like that. So we, if the LabCorp's checking your blood, you know, they're going to have that data. Is it getting sent over to the government or something? Is there the list or whatever? I don't know. If they come after me with a vaccine, I'm moving to Chile. I'll tell you that. But I wouldn't worry about it as much as trying to figure out that piece. And that's the part, because the part for me that's most important isn't of Well, if I'm positive for the antibodies, then I'm immune. You know, maybe it's still too early to know that too, but the likelihood I think they're finding out is that you've kind of beat it. But it doesn't mean there couldn't be a SARS-CoV-4, right? We could have COVID-20 next year and COVID, you know, we can have,
right,
just like the flu. It can morph. We've seen it happen. So the part for me that's very interesting is I want to know if I can be exposed and not get it. That's what's the important thing. And that's the thing that usually doesn't get talked about. And even based on DNA, you can have certain DNA that there's certain viruses I could catch that you might not catch. It's not a blanket thing. It doesn't say, hey,
that's interesting. I mean, I've always understood the idea that some people can get it, but they're immune to it. But that, and obviously they don't develop any kind of symptoms from it. But I've never thought about what characteristic a person would have that they're exposed to it, but they don't even get it. Like, how does it not make it into their body?
That's where the science should be focused. But so think about it, is the virus is a living thing and it needs to consume to live, right? So if it's put into a host, just like a parasite, like a host, and the things that it needs aren't there for it to consume, or it's having a lot of trouble getting
it. Dies off.
It dies fast. No antibodies, no symptoms. You could test positive for COVID-19, right? So if I sneezed in your face, a day later, the virus starts trying, it's like, oh, I'm trying to get in Carl, but Carl's too damn healthy. You'll still a swab, you'll have it because it's on you, right? But it isn't affecting you because it's not being able to.
So the difference is it's we know it's there, it's identifiable, but we don't see any immune response to it, which means the immune system never got called to action. So that's kind of like this limbo place in the middle. Right. Interesting.
Yeah, it's like I said, like a 12-year-old kid, I wouldn't hit a kid, but I'll say my son in this example, came up and, you know, wanted to fight me, and I just would, my heart rate would
down. Right?
Two guys come at me, and I'm like,
What is it about that person that they were able to not even get it? That's interesting.
I think that they're healthy because that's the only thing I can.
Yeah, but when we talk about healthy, though, so I think it's got to be something more, and I tell you why.
Well, it can be like there could be a DNA level,
or there could actually be something on the surface of this person's body, right? There could be like maybe there's microbes. We know there's microbes on our bodies. Maybe there's microbes on the body that are actually vanquishing the virus before it even gets in.
Exactly, protecting it, which is also called your immune system, right? I mean, it's anything that's fighting.
But because it wins like right away, it doesn't even tell the immune system it had a fight. So the immune system has no watermark of it ever fighting that virus.
Yeah. It could be a layer of the immune system that one individual has that another individual doesn't, and maybe it's genetic, and maybe it's lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know, and so those are the things that I like to. That's, you know, I'm a data nut. Like, that's why we've had a lot of success with taking care of people, is just making sure we're looking at the data and measuring, not just, it isn't A or B always, right? It might be A, B, and there's 17 different things that led you to A,
right?
Or there might be a C that you haven't looked at because it just doesn't make sense. So while we're doing it, we can send people out, pretty quick turnaround time. We get the results back in 2 to 3 days. And with a lot of our folks, we're just adding it to their lab. Their regular blood work. They got to get it done, which add it to it, and they go get it done. But it's a really interesting topic, and I think it's just helping a lot of people understand, or at least ask more questions. You know what I mean? I agree.
I agree.
Like, social distancing, like, that will help. It's also going to help prevent the flu, and it can help all these other potential diseases. Sneezing, coughing your hand, all the education that we're learning. It's like, I feel like people that don't know, hopefully now they're finally paying attention. But at the same time, because you and I are 6 feet from each other, doesn't mean COVID-19 appears, right? And it doesn't mean that just because Carl has it, doesn't mean that I can get it. It doesn't mean that, right? When we lighten that up a little bit, we all lighten up a little bit. And then we can just kind of just make more educated decisions.
I agree. I definitely think we've handled this whole thing the wrong way.
Yeah, gone a little too much. But you know what? We got like Trump in charge, who, no matter what he does, is
well. That cool. He didn't want to shut down the country, but then he had Nancy Pelosi was already saying she was going to have him impeached. You know, it's like
He didn't do it soon enough, or it's going to be no matter. He can't win, so the guy he's just got to do.
He didn't do it soon enough. He didn't act fast enough. Now you know he acted too fast, and it's just a mess.
I never want that job. I feel bad.
I wouldn't want. That's a thankless position. Listen, it's good seeing you.
You too.
Nice having some time with you. The website is Renew Life RX. It really is a great place if if you want some questions answered, like you think, you know, what is it about HRT? I want to know more about it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, even, you know, we had a couple college athletes that are going into their next season. They just want to get their blood work. Like, we don't treat those guys. You know, we're not going to treat them but they want to see, hey, man, at 21, 22, when I'm a beast.
Let's get a snapshot of what you look like. That's a great I asked Dr. David Zava that question on my show in 2006 when he had ZRT was becoming popular. And I said, Dr. Zava, don't you think it's a good idea for every parent to buy their child when their child's in their mid-20s, complete lab analysis so that they have this time capsule that when it comes time for them to look at HRT, instead of them going, well, you know, you're in the zone. No, this is what you look like. This is what we need to achieve again. And he said no.
Yeah, and we've done it because it opens more questions and people don't have the answers to questions, so they don't want to be put in that position.
Yeah, he said no, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I wish I had the foresight to have done that for my kids.
We've done it a ton with football players and MMA fighters because guess what happens when you've had 6 concussions? You've been knocked out 7.
Yeah, the pituitary and the hypothalamus go wonky. Yeah, I know.
And you can know, then you can take it. It's not like you can petition for hormone optimization later in your career, and it's not doping or cheating. It's you've been knocked out 9 times, and your body's not functioning.
And you know what the targets are. They're not some epidemiological arbitrary ranges that they're shooting for.
Right, exactly. So, yes, that's a good – our motto is stop guessing and start testing.
I like that.
The COVID thing, too. You know, just test, find out.
Adam, thanks for being here today, brother.
We'll see it.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about what I think is a real big problem right now, and that is that science is trying to leverage COVID-19 to do some dirty, dirty, dirty things. And I use that word specifically. You know how I feel about androgen deprivation therapy for men who have prostate cancer? Well, stay tuned and wait till you hear this story. We'll be right back.
You've heard about blood flow restriction training since 2006 on SHR, but you're still on the fence. Well, here's the push. BFR is more effective at building muscle than anabolic steroids. That's right, I went there, but it's because it's the truth. My experience with the B-Strong blood flow restriction system is proof to me, and now I'm asking myself why I waited so long. You'll see undeniable changes in the targeted muscles in days and weeks like nothing you've ever tried before. I will never stop using them. Give B-Strong a try. Go to bstrong.training/super-human and use code SHR for 10% off. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Ever wish there was a precise way to gauge your recovery from workout to workout? Or wonder if the money you're spending on your nootropic supplements are actually improving brain function? Maybe you're aging and you're noticing some changes in memory. Wouldn't being able to really test your brain be of great value? Well, now you can with great accuracy with the Brain Gauge. The Brain
Engage lets you test essential components of brain health and track your brain health history, and all in the comfort of your own home. Go to gageyourbrain.com and use code SHR for $150 off this amazing device. That's gageyourbrain.com and SHR for $150 off. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
I just got an email from the motorcycle dealership in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He just sent me a picture of the bike. It's loaded on a trailer and heading to Louisville, Kentucky. They're only 11 hours away. I have a feeling it'll be here tomorrow. That would be so exciting. I can't wait. I haven't had a motorcycle since I was 21 years old. And before that, that's all I had. I didn't have a car. I only had a motorcycle. If the roads were plowed, I don't care how cold it was, I used to ride my motorcycle to school, to work. I'm looking forward to this bike anyway. So if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know how I feel about androgen deprivation therapy. Androgen deprivation therapy is a very cruel, barbaric approach to treating prostate cancer. Men get prostate cancer, and because the misinformation still is alive that testosterone causes prostate cancer, and that has not only been debunked, but I had Dr. Samuel Denmead on this show 4 or 5 years ago, who showed that by giving men with aggressive prostate cancer testosterone, the prostate cancer went away. Now, keep in mind that this is doctors out there still, they got their fingers in their ears. They don't care. Androgen deprivation therapy is giving men long-acting gonadotropin-releasing analogs that cause the pituitary to produce an overabundance of luteinizing hormone that cause the testicles to overwork and try to produce more and more testosterone. It lasts about 4 days. Men actually feel great for the first 4 days because their testosterone levels go through the roof. But then after that, they plummet. And by the end of the first month, a full-grown man has the testosterone levels of maybe a pre-pubertal girl. Testosterone is virtually negligible, undetectable in the blood. And they believe that this is working. Even though these men go back while on ADT and still have high PSAs, which is another misguided marker, by the way, that they're still using. But I'm not going to go into that. So this is a horrible therapy for men who have prostate cancer. Horrible. And just as you would have it, I'm going to see the European Society of Medical Oncology published a paper. Androgen deprivation treatment for prostate cancer could protect men from COVID-19. Now, when I read this, as soon as I read it, I saw exactly what was going on here. Exactly. And I'm going to let you see if you figure it out, too. A study of 4,532 men in Veneto region of Italy has found that those who were being treated for prostate cancer with androgen deprivation therapy, or ADT for short, were less likely to develop the coronavirus, COVID-19. And if they were infected, the disease was less severe. The authors of the study, published in the leading cancer journal, Annals of Oncology, today, Thursday, say their findings suggest that ADT appears to protect men from COVID-19 infection. The researchers, led by Professor Andre Alamonti from the University del Svizzera, Italia, this is actually in Switzerland, it's an Italian learning facility there, found that out of 4,532 men infected with COVID-19, 430 of them had cancer. That's 9.5%. And 180 of them, 18 of them had prostate cancer, 2.6%. Male cancer patients had a 1.8-fold increased risk of COVID-19 infection out of the whole male population and developed more severe cases. This is just plain old cancer. But the prostate cancer group, now listen to this. However, when they looked at all the prostate cancer patients, all of them, that's a funny word, they found that only 5,273 men on ADT developed COVID-19 infections, and none of them died. This is compared to 37,161 men with prostate cancer who were not receiving ADT, of who 114 developed COVID-19 and 18 died. I could go on, and they pat themselves on the back for this discovery, and they're suggesting that androgen deprivation therapy may actually protect men from getting from COVID-19. And it does. And I'm going to tell you how it does. When they rob you of your testosterone, you don't do anything anymore. First of all, you become insulin resistant. You become fat. All of your muscle goes away and you have no energy for anything in life. You don't want to leave the house, which these men probably don't. That's why they didn't get infected. You definitely don't want to be around people because you feel horrible. I mean, what they're looking at is correlation here. And this is where epidemiology kind of goes wrong, when they abandon all critical thinking. And in the brilliant words Dr. Lauren Cordain, who came on my show many times years ago. If you believe epidemiology, then fire trucks cause house fires, because 100% of the time when there's a house fire, fire trucks are there. And this is how epidemiology works, by correlations. I predict that if you look at these men, they're miserable. They're not going out. They're not fraternizing. They're happy that there's a shutdown because they're happy to sit in their chair for the rest of their lives. I know a guy who comes to my gym, the poor guy. I watched him over the past 8 years go from a robust, dark-haired, middle-aged man to a gray. He's got a gut on him that looks like he's 8 months pregnant. He shuffles through the gym. He has no muscle anymore. I applaud him for even showing up to the gym the way he does. He can't move anything like he used to. ADT is a horrible, horrible death sentence to a man. In fact, I think death would probably be welcomed by most of these guys. It doesn't work. It doesn't reverse prostate cancer because these guys continue to have prostate problems. They continue, their PSAs still go through the roof, even on the ADT. And it's not solving any problems. And the reason that they're contracting COVID-19 at a lower rate and ergo dying from it at fewer rates as well, because so few of them are getting it, is because they are not engaged in life at friggin' all. I mean, I'm sure that paraplegics aren't getting COVID-19 at a high rate. No, because they're stuck in a wheelchair in their house all the time. They don't get around people. So this is where science really pisses me off. Trying to pat yourself on the back because chemical castration is such a horrible, horrible thing to do to man, and say, see, we're doing good. They don't get COVID-19. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'd rather have COVID-19 and get better from it than have to be chemically castrated for a year even. And let's not forget, these men die of other causes because they become insulin resistant, their bodies fall apart, dyslipidemia, they are wrecks. They die from other things. I'm sure they die from many, many other things. Most likely, I bet heart failure. I bet you if I took a couple minutes and I searched for the rate of heart failure or cardiac problems in men receiving androgen deprivation therapy, if they don't hide this stuff already, we could find plenty of evidence that that happens as well. So shame on these scientists for trying to pat themselves on the back for doing something barbaric and horrible to men and then going, yeah, but they're not getting COVID-19. BFD. Horrible. All right, that's it for today. Tomorrow, we have a very special pep talk with Dr. Elizabeth Yerth at a special time at 2 p.m. And we're going to be talking about GHKCU and another form of GHK peptide. It's been shown to regrow hair. It's got a lot of benefits with skin. We're going to get into that tomorrow. So don't miss that show. And, of course, share this show. Share all of my shows, please. help reach more people so that they learn the things that you learn and can be healthier. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening and watching today.